This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. A lot of musicians made a lot of noise at the brewery during its 28-year run. In the 80s, there were punk rockers, some who never made it beyond the club's gritty stage. Then in the 90s, there was Whiskey Town. Local favorites Caitlin Carey and Ryan Adams took that band from playing the brewery to international fame. More recently, the Hillsborough Street Club has given plenty of college kids an outlet for their music while providing a launch pad for groups like Paramore. Those kids ruled the pop charts for a good long while last year. Well, the only sound that came from the brewery this week was the steady rumble of bulldozers. Developers have razed the building to make way for classrooms, apartments, and shops. On the line with us to memorialize the brewery is Tom Taylor. He bought the club in 2004. Tom, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much for having me.
You bought the club after it had been around for a while. Why?
I've been going to see shows at the brewery for 20 years. The first show that I saw was in 1991 when I was a student at UNC. And so I knew about the history. I'd loved going to see shows there. I was from the coast of North Carolina, but that was always one of my favorite places to drive to go see shows. It was just a real intimate setting, a lot of history.
Who do you remember seeing there?
There were some bands back in the early 2000s and maybe late 90s, bands like Nothing Face, kind of heavy bands like that, that I saw that were really cool. But, the bands from the last 7 years that really stand out, there were some great shows, bands like Paramore that came through, Boys Like Girls, Red Jumpsuit Apparatus, and Cartel, and Panic at the Disco. I remember Panic at the Disco, when they played there, they were not one of the bigger names on that bill, but a year later, they were winning the MTV Video of the Year Music Award. So.
Well, and that's kind of the charm of the place, is that a lot of rising stars got their not necessarily got their start there, but were playing back there before they got a name. And then there were some big-name bands back in the early 80s. I mean, I think you could Husker Du and bands that were known in the 80s had reputations, showed up at the brewery.
Yeah, absolutely. And even, when I got there in 2004, over the next couple of years, we brought in I used to always joke, you see bands at the brewery on their way up and on their way down. Hmm. And, we brought in King's X, a huge band from the 80s and early 90s, Metal Church, bands like that, Joey Belladonna, the singer from Anthrax, his solo band was out touring. And so, that was really the kind of the case. You got to see some bands that had an established name, but you also got to see a lot of bands that you might not know today, but there's a good possibility you would tomorrow.
So it was a place with a reputation, a club that had a story, and it had fallen on hard times when you picked it up. Did you feel any sense of responsibility to the music community when you took it over?
I really kind of did. I didn't think of it that way. I just kind of thought this is a place that I love, and I want to continue what it has done. It was really kind of interesting because in doing what the brewery had always done or in attempting to do what the brewery had always done, which was give that platform for the up-and-coming bands, I met a little bit of resistance from kind of the old guard of the brewery, people that when they were 20 years old, they loved the brewery. And now in the last few years before I got it, it hadn't been doing so well. And when I came in, I tried to bring in those same up-and-coming bands that the 20-year-olds would like again. But what I kind of did was, I think, upset some of the 40-year-olds.
Want to hear the same old stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what happens when we get old.
Yeah. I'm right there with you. I'm going to be 40 this year, too. And so I didn't want to make it my own personal jukebox. I wanted to make sure that I brought in bands that, might be making some noise on the national level down the road.
Well, we're not going to put our next guest on the timeline here, but we do have two more fans of the brewery on the line. Caitlin Carey played there more than a few times with Whiskey Town. Caitlin, welcome back to the program.
Oh, hi. Hi, Frank. It's nice to be here. Thanks.
Sean Bailey's joining us from Chapel Hill. His band, Six Inch Voices, also found a home at the brewery. Hi, Sean.
How you doing?
Good. Caitlin, you knew the brewery best in the 90s. What was it like?
Oh, well, it was just what Tom was saying. It was intimate. It was always pretty hot, although they had some good fans going. And it was, in my experience, I had moved to Raleigh in 94, and for quite some time, it was literally the only place that I saw shows. I mean, unless you wanted to drive to to Chapel Hill, you were going to the brewery, and you know, a few other clubs made, you know, waves, but that was really it. And to be sure, you know, when we started our band, that was where we wanted to play, and that's, you know, pretty much the only place we knew to ask.
Well, Whiskey Town certainly gained a reputation there, but your band Tres Chicas is also a band with a story behind it, and the brewery has something to do with it. But let's remind everybody of good old Tres Chicas.
Ah, well, yeah.
They, in a sense, there, Caitlin, got their start at the brewery. Tell us the story.
It very literally started at the brewery, and in the bathroom, no less. Lynn was heartbroken at the time, and Tanya and I were, you know, we were all friends and had sung together here and there on a song or two, but we were just comforting our friend in the bathroom, and we all sort of at the same moment said, you know what? We really ought to be a band, and it was just a few days later that we met up in my living room, and there, you know.
The conversation has been had many times, many ways, but you actually did it, and the Italian press picked it up and got it slightly wrong. Tell us about that.
Oh, well, yeah, I think it wasn't, it probably wasn't the Italians, it was the translating program from Google, but it wound up saying that Tres Chicas were formed on the toilet in the brewery.
There you go. Sean, you are a member of the most recent generation of musicians to play the brewery. We're going to listen to a bit of your band's 6-inch voices now to get a sense of the variety of the music at the club. Sean Bailey, what did this place mean to you and your band?
I guess it was a starting point for us, and at the end of the day, they treated us like family. They never treated us wrong. Tom always helped us get good shows with big touring bands, would even put us headlining because he knew we could bring a good draw, even though we had no clue what we were doing half the time. But, you know, they treated us very well, would give us Fridays and Saturday shows, and was just really willing to work with us, like with our schedules and everything as well, since we were all college students at the time.
What about the environment itself? I mean, what was it like to play in the club?
It was awesome. It was a very intimate environment because it was small. So everyone kind of felt like you were there. You were there with the band, either if you're in the crowd or on stage.
And Caitlin, you were saying it's a place you actually sought out. You came from Texas, and for a while you thought Raleigh was a desert. There was no place like it.
Well, yeah. I mean, it was definitely a revelation the moment I found it, because I realized that there was this, you know, this whole world of great local bands and a place where, you know, I could see bands that I knew from living other places, and yeah, it was a great spot on the cultural map.
Sean, you not only played there, but of course, like others, you saw some shows there. What are some of the memorable shows for you?
Oh, geez, I would have to say we did a Jell-O wrestling show for a girls rugby NC State benefit. That was probably in the top three.
Yeah,
and you played all Blink 182 covers during that show.
Yeah, so we played something that we kind of had our influences. So that went over very well.
Is it available on YouTube? Well, I'll take a look after the show. Here's the thing now, Tom. Tell us about it now, because I guess classrooms are going to go in there across the street from NC State on Hillsborough Street. What's going to happen to it? The space now.
You know, actually, I think if everything goes as they want it to go, the actual space where the brewery is sitting, along with the place that was bulldozed next door and the next two places adjacent to the brewery, there will be a car drug sitting there if everything goes like they want it.
Well, what is there any hope of reviving the brewery, Tom, or something like it?
You know, I think there's hope. I think there are definitely a lot of people that would love to see it happen. There's been the public support and outcry over this has really been a little overwhelming. You know, it's kind of crazy to realize how many lives that the brewery touched, and not just since I've been there. I mean, you know, it was there 21 years before I had it for the last seven. I mean, it touched me, and that's why I wanted to keep it going. but you know, there's been a lot of support for it. A lot of questions I get asked that several times a day, and you know, who knows? I this is all so fresh. I really haven't even had a chance to breathe.
You didn't get much notice on this, did you?
As little notice as you can possibly get. I think I was given 9 days,
wow.
And you know, which the month-to-month lease I was under said I had to have 30. I was given 9, and then at the last minute, the night before our final show, after it had run in newspapers and local magazines, all of our shows had been canceled out, you know, because we had shows booked till November.
Hmm.
All of our shows had been canceled. They came in and said, you know what, we made a mistake. Here's your 30 days notice.
Yeah. Well, good luck, Tom. We hope to see something like it, and I know there's been a lot of support. A lot of people asking for memorabilia, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've gotten, I don't know how many people that were out of town that, you know, text me or sent me Facebook messages saying, hey, can you get me a couple of bricks from the brewery? I didn't take anything. I took the equipment that was there. I took the stuff that was, you know, that I had to take out. And I wasn't even there to watch it come down. I didn't want to see it.
Now, good luck to you, and thanks to all of my guests, Caitlin Carey, Sean Bailey, and Tom Taylor as well. Thanks so much for being on the program.
Thanks for having us.
All right, thanks.
Just ahead, the sound of Swannanoa Gathering on the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. Please stay tuned.